We now will have our scripture reading. If you would like to do some scripture reading, I would love to have other readers. Michael has graciously agreed to do today. And we will be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, if you would like to join us there. Hopefully it is a familiar text.
Okay, in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37, just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
If you would join me in just another moment of prayer. God, as we prepare and share this text, may the message that needs to be heard come through. God, this is your holy word. God, give us the mission. Let us remember that we rely on you for guidance, for comfort, for all. Gracious God, though texts can be familiar, when we are in a different spot, they hit us differently. Let your word shine through. In your precious and holy name, amen. Here I am. That was your homework. This past week, did you think of the places you've been, the moments of ministry, where God has led you and given you passions and given you that heart for certain ministries? Do you know where you are? Because here I am. And there you are. There you are. There you are. And here I am. But we've got to somehow bring them together. So when you know where you are, well, then you can find where your ministry fields could be. Because here I am. And there you are. Here I am. There you are. But if I don't know where I am, it's certainly going to be hard to find others. And I know a thing or two about getting lost. I'm going to share some of my "here I am" and tell you why I know God is going to be working in this church, because the devil has tried really hard to keep me away. It's a Sunday morning. You delightful people had the men's breakfast. My men were going to get a good hearty meal on a Sunday morning, and I promise you that does not happen in our house. I cannot be bothered with other people's tummies. So we were going to get up early, and they were going to show up. But you weren't serving it at my house. And so here I am. But there you are, here. So we got to get from point A to point B. We get in the car, like most of us do to get someplace. And what's the first thing you got to do? You got to start the car. Now, some of us have the key in the ignition, and some of us have a fancy button. But you turn that key or hit that button, and an engine roars to life. My husband put that key in the ignition, and nothing. Nothing. Not a click, not a hope sputter, nothing. And so we tried again, like, maybe it's just a bad luck day. Maybe the ignition was like, I'm tired this morning. And my husband does it again. Nothing. Okay, that's complicated. No problem. We got my car sitting and his car sitting, and we're gonna jumper cable it, right? We're gonna take power from someone, which is what we do in ministry. Somebody is on live for Christ, and they're gonna help encourage the other so that they can go on and jumpstart someone else. So my blue little car, we got the cables connected, and then we tried to bring the other cables to the other car, and there was sparks. I want you to be a spark and alive for Jesus. I don't want my jumper cable sparking before we get out of car. No problem. Redo, readjust. And we put it to Corey's car, and it comes to life, the roaring of the engine. Corey removed those jumper cables. Dead. Just died. We opened the car doors. Not a smell that should be in your car, that kind of electrical burn. And at this point, we have kind of given up on the men's breakfast. But had we not been going there, I'd probably still be preaching at Duncan, and you all would be sitting here furious. We're already running a little different late. And our pastor can't even be here? No, because I had a dead car. But because of the men's breakfast, we were still able to gather ourselves into my two-door car that we bought for gas mileage, not really for the family travel. But we made it work. Because sometimes you got to show up for ministry in your weakness. Sometimes you got to show up in your ministry when you don't want to. When you have something like that happen, you go, God, it must be a sign. I'm going back into my nice warm bed. Because rain, I'm going to warn you now, steals my voice. I don't know what it stirs up in the world, but it makes me froggy. So, of course, this was the morning I thought I should sing, because I love that song. I love it. And that's when we remember that God loves a joyful, joyful sound, even if it's not quite on pitch. But that's a ministry opportunity for you to show up for the choir, which is at 6 o'clock on Wednesdays. Maybe God is calling you, and you're like, oh, preacher, I'm not a singer. Maybe you are. This is like when you say, oh, I don't like this food. Have you tried it? Because if you haven't tried it, you don't know if you can or like it or not. We have to be open to experience. We have to be open to the opportunity. And if singing really isn't where God is calling you, as we've joined charges with Duncan, there is a meal at 5:30. Invite a friend. Maybe they're lonely. Maybe expenses are tight. Come to the meal and be in community. At 6:30, then there is a worship service. Be there. I love seeing some of the crossover I'm already seeing in a charge. It shows support and encouragement. It allows us to be in ministry in different ways. We did have someone who came from Emmanuel. I am so thankful for that. Last week, if you noticed, we had someone travel with Phyllis, Mary Alice, who plays the piano over at Duncan. Those little moments of showing up are a world of difference. They remind us we're not alone. And that even if it's not necessarily your cup of tea, showing support is so encouraging to the soul. There's nothing like being in a place where you feel out of place and you make a connection with someone. Maybe it's a big family event like a wedding, and as soon as you see your friend, you're like, yes, you're here. That moment that you're like, oh, I think we've crossed paths, and you start a discussion, and all of a sudden a stranger becomes a neighbor. That's powerful. So when I told you I couldn't even get power on my mic, I'm like, well, why not? And my sermon notes, my sermon scripture references, they're on my phone that I left at Duncan. It's okay, devil, do your best. We're gonna show up and still see God, because God is always bigger. Even in those moments it feels hard, God is especially there. So let's go back to the scripture that Michael read for us, which I was very grateful for, a volunteer. Ministry is not just what I do. Ministry is what the church does. You have a gift to share, whether it's in music, whether it's in reading, whether it's drawing and graphics that we can put up there, if it's helping with our children, if it's helping clean up the church, if it's helping to prepare a breakfast to encourage community. Those are all ministry moments. That's powerful. And when people see you serving like that, that gives them permission, inspiration, motivation to also show up. Prayer, card writing. There is something for everyone. And sometimes it will be in your strength. I can talk all day. Sometimes it's in your weakness. If you ask me to help you find something, I would need my phone, and even then we would still probably get lost. Because I have permission to share that I did visit Ron, and if you don't give me permission to share that, like you do invite me to visit, and you don't want others to know, I treat that as confidentiality. I know a lot of you are asking in true heart and love, how are they doing? Unless they've given me permission, I won't share it. I think that's just really important. I know it's coming from a good place when it's asked, but I don't feel it's my place to share unless they say so. But Ron had put it out, and he does want prayers. It's been, anyone who's been in the hospital or had a procedure, sometimes we think it's just gonna be, I'm gonna be healed and feeling alive. And then we remember we're human and we go, wow, I'm so tired trying to walk 2 feet. But I had visited Ron and his wife, and I got there really well. They mark it very well in the hospital there in Spartanburg. Clear path. They do not give you a clear path back to information. I did not have my route guide. And so I started looking, just looking, and wandering. And I'm like, I feel like I'm in a maze in the hospital. So here's my brilliant idea. I'm gonna step out and I'll see the huge towers that I parked in, right? They have to eventually show up if I just walk the perimeter of the hospital. And I come out and I am not on the side I was. Like, I mean, I kinda knew how far I had walked, so I knew that wasn't probably right. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go left. And as I'm thinking about this, a woman says, do you know how to get valet? I'm like, ma'am, I don't even know how to get out of the hospital. Like, I am not your helper on this one. And so I stepped out and I start walking. I come across a beautiful fountain, kind of like this holy little garden right here, that really special space. And I took pictures. And I was trying to beat the storm that was rolling in Friday, the big dark skies, and suddenly started to get raindrops. And I'm like, okay, my outside plan is probably not the one we're going to go with. So I open a door and I'm like, yes, it opens. This is a sign. And I start walking in. I have no idea where I am in the hospital. There are dressing rooms. There is very nice little lobby I'm in. There's no one. Lights are off, and I'm telling you, not a human soul in this little part of the hospital. And I'm like, I don't even know if I'm supposed to be here. But somehow I'm in it. So I start walking and I'm opening random doors. I'm hoping they're not emergency exits. And I have no idea. I have no idea where I am. And I see 2 security guards. And I said, oh, bless you. And I come up to them and I'm like, I'm so sorry to bother you, but could you just tell me where the parking garages are? And this one guy turns with the biggest like guffaw, like, are you trying to walk there? I don't know. I just want to get there. And so, like a good helper, shifted the work to his friend. He's like, this man will be happy to help you in a minute. And I'm like, excellent. And he's like, would you like a ride? I would love a ride. So he lets me in his car, he clears it off, and then just a minute later, I'm in front of my car. That is how bad I am with directions. I cannot get out of a building. Thankfully, God gave me a partner who is like a human compass. I still will check my phone to come from the two churches, because my phone gives me like 5 different ways I can go from the churches in my house, and so I still can't figure out where I am. Corey starts driving us here. I'm like, do you know where we're going? He's like, yes. Excellent. But see, that's the thing. That's my weakness. I can use it for a holy moment, but it's so easy for him. He doesn't even realize it's a talent. Those who have beautiful voices, they don't even know what a skill it is. There's people who can pray at the drop of a hat. They don't realize that's such a ministry because it's so easy. They're like, oh, no problem. But for us who are on the other side of that, we're like, you'll never know. You'll never know. But these on the other side, they have other gifts to share. They have other ways to do ministry. And then they feel bad, like, oh, I get lost. They don't even realize they have gifts to share. So let's go back to our Good Samaritan story. How many are familiar with it? Right? There's something powerful about this message. So we have someone who gets injured. I've told you to pay attention, here I am. Who are you in the story? Are you the one that's kind of been beat up by the world for no reason? Are you the one who's suffering pain, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual? Are you the one in need of ministry? Sometimes we can be in both places. But here is the injured victim. Beat up. Bullied. But don't worry. There's help on the way. The first person we hear cross this injured victim's path is a priest. Woo-woo! Go clergy, right? I'm with them. And he starts walking. Oh, this seems messy. This seems complicated. I didn't see him. A priest. There's obviously a ministry moment here, and they didn't even check on them, we don't see in the scripture. We don't hear them ask if they need help. Doesn't even address them as a human in need. But went on their way. We have no idea what was going on in that priest's life. But they didn't even stop. They didn't even ask, according to the scriptures. All right, no problem. A Levite, which is more of like a laity position, but like really a big church volunteer, has a lot of responsibilities in the church. They're the ones who take care of the temple, like in the trustees. They're the ones who assist the pastor and are on different ministry teams, caring teams, compassion teams. Their whole duty and responsibility is to help. And that Levite also comes across the same injured person and yet kept going. Once again, ignoring the immediate ministry need. And then who comes along? The outcast, the Samaritan, the person that people judge, that they go out of their way to not walk through their country because they're those kind of people. The ones you don't want to work with. And yet that Samaritan is the one who stopped. And not only stopped for this injured person, but addressed the immediate needs, bandaged the wounds, probably was saying something encouraging, helped this person up who probably had no strength, lifted this person to put on their donkey, the Samaritan's donkey, their way of transportation, and allowed this person to rest as they traveled, while the Samaritan leads the donkey, and then leads him to a safe place to recover, to heal. Drops him off at an inn, and the Samaritan still has to go someplace, still has to leave, but puts down a deposit. Here's 2 coins, 2 denarii, to show you I will pay and take care of this person's bill. Just watch over them. Give them a space to heal. Have any of you ever had an unexpected medical cost? How it can bankrupt you in a heartbeat. That stress it puts you on, even though you are injured or ill and need this attention, and the bill starts racking up. No, 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 I don't need your medication. I've got mine in my purse. Please don't charge me for Kleenex. I can take care of it. There's a stress and a worry on top of not feeling good, which is the worst thing in that moment. But this good Samaritan said, no, I've got the bill. That's my tab. You just let this person rest and attend to their needs. I will be back. Wow. A person who addressed the physical needs, who took some of that mental worry off, and possibly the spiritual. You're not alone. Someone's got your back. And sometimes that's the biggest ministry we need, is that someone will just show up, even when the world attacks you and beats you down. You said, no, I can do this. God is going to put ministry in your path. Why are there moments we don't do ministry? Because I'm going to be honest, I've been the priest in the story. It's not a proud moment, but I get distracted. This morning had a lot of distractions. I wasn't as available when I first showed up at Duncan. I was still dealing with a problem that can't be dealt with in that moment. Because here I am, and the crisis is in my garage. And my mechanical knowledge is pretty much in the category of my directions. And yet I'm still trying to solve that problem, but that's not where God's calling me for ministry. Because here I am, and there you are. There is the ministry. It's not always where it's convenient. It's not always what you see immediately. And we don't see it immediately because we're distracted. Sometimes we're overwhelmed with the responsibility. Oh, no, I can't take your problem right now. No, I got my own issues. Sometimes we do it out of fear, right? There's people who can't see blood or injuries, and they're like, oh, no. Not my specialty. And even if it wasn't, you could at least say, I will call for help. I will bring someone to you. I will help. Sometimes if we can't solve the whole problem, we don't even try to solve a little problem, like giving a Band-Aid or just sitting with them till someone who can help comes. There's always an opportunity to serve. From your well of knowledge or experience or strength or willingness, even in the weakness. Sometimes we don't stop because we don't stop. That one's a little uncomfortable. We just didn't want to. Sometimes it's because it will be too much and I'm not enough. That's going back into, there's still a part you can help with. You don't have to do it all on your own. And that's where a lot of churches fail, is if we only have 1 or 2 people who are holding up the roof. But if we'll work together, wow, amazing. That law expert tried to trick Jesus. Who's my neighbor? What do I got to do? And Jesus says, well, what do you have to do? What do you think is important? To love the Lord your God with all your heart. Yes. All your soul. Absolutely. All your mind. Yes. Get in line with the thinking. All of it. To love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Okay, Jesus, we're on the neighbor part. Who's that? The one who helps. The one who offers mercy. The one who offers grace. That's the neighbor. Sometimes we get caught up in who the neighbor should be. It's the one who's there. There is a psychological study about the Good Samaritan specifically that happened in the early 70s by, I think it's Darley and Batson. This is when I would check my phone, double check that I got it right. But early 70s, and they picked Princeton Seminary students, people who were destined to go into ministry. And one of the qualities usually in a minister is they want to help. And then they were given the task to deliver a Good Samaritan sermon so they know the story. They are saying they want to help. And they had to answer a survey while they were waiting before they went to give the sermon. Why do you want to help? Is it an inner feeling? Is it an emotion? Or is it an outward force, like you're trying to build up your points to get into heaven? What force is the one who will stop? So they put them here in this building. It's a little shorter than to the other building, but kind of just in a pathway from this is where you start, take your little survey, and then cross to do the sermon. 4 feet. They know the Good Samaritan. They're given 3 different categories. 1, you have so much time, you are prepared and ready, and whenever you're ready, we'll mingle over there. You've got so much time. The 2nd category, you are right on time, but we should go right now to stay on time. And then the 3rd category, oh my goodness, you are so late, we have to go, you should run. I mean, we're gonna do the best we can, but you are super late. And so these pastoral candidates come through this 4-foot alley, and there is a person, I believe it was a gentleman, who is moaning, ugh, and who is sighing, aww. You know they're in distress. They are heaped on the ground. It's such a small alley. You literally have to address this person or walk over them. The 1st category, who has all the time in the world, 63% of them stopped and helped and assisted in some way. The 2nd category, there was about 43, 47 who stopped to help. The 3rd category, who was running late, who had no time, 10%. Because they had something else on their mind. I gotta go deliver the sermon. Sometimes we get something in our head. I have to do this. This is the priority. This is what I am doing. This is my task. That we forget it's the ministry in the moment. That's great if you have a task. That's great to go serve. But if you have someone suffering, that's who you should show up for. They have an immediate need. It is clear they need help now. Let us not be so focused on our want of a ministry that we forget to serve those in need. I'm encouraging you, if you haven't, do your homework. Here I am. How am I showing up? Where are my weaknesses? Where are my strengths? So that you know what field you're kind of aimed towards. There you are. To serve. To love. To help. Whether it be from your place of strength, oh God, I got this. Or a weakness where you just sit down and say, okay, God, you got this, but I'm here and willing. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, when we serve, let us serve with a joyful heart, but let us never overlook the true ministry that needs to happen right then and there. Help us to be present and not caught up in our thoughts, but caught up here in the moment. God, most of ministry is showing up and being willing and discerning your spirit, which is why we must continue to be in relationship to you. God, the world has a lot of sound and a lot of chaos and a lot of pick me with flashing signs. But God, let us never forget that sometimes you are quiet, that you are calling from that holy moment, that sometimes we miss the mark because we weren't quite listening to the stillness, to the quiet that you were calling from. God, we are your humble servants in how we want to serve. When we figure out here I am so we can figure out there you are. And God, sometimes that's you, where you are, calling us to go, to take care of your people. In your precious and holy name, amen.